You know what? If you don't teach your children the Word of God, you sell them to this world. You betray them to the devil. You allow your children to become slaves of the wicked one. You allow Satan to abuse your children in this life and torment them in the next.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of Ephesians. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Christian Home. Let's listen in.
But you have to prepare them because they don't know how to prepare themselves for that. Are y'all with me? Okay, yeah, they don't know. See, they do not realize, the little children, and thank God they don't, but they need parents that know. They're innocent. Listen, they don't realize that every day of their life, here they are day one, now as they grow and go through life, they're going to be exposed to every kind of evil. They're going to suffer temptation in their life. They don't know that. They don't know that one day the iPhone's going to be their God. They don't know that, you know? Now listen, I've said this often from this pulpit. I would have given anything to have been raised in a Christian home, now that I know. Of course, I had no idea back then. But to really be raised now, not just a Christian home, but a true Christian home. Listen, to be raised in a Christian home is one of the greatest privileges on earth. Listen, to have a family, a home that where the Bible is believed and honored and read, amen? In a home where Jesus is worshiped and where prayers are going up all the time and so forth. You know, a place where children are in a home where they are being raised in, trained in, raised in the admonition of the Lord God, our Savior. So fathers, here's the deal. You have to be giving your kiddos a biblical worldview. That is your calling. That is your stewardship. And it all takes place in the home. Now, let me say something about biblical worldview, about teaching your children, because we can really get in trouble because it's not about our personal preferences. Do you understand? My granddaddy, this is the way we... No. Listen, a biblical worldview is not based on your personal preferences. It's based only on spiritual truths, which is the Word of God. And also, when you give your children a biblical view, and I made this mistake, and I learned my mistake, and I never forgot it. And I'm not saying I continued in my mistake. I said I learned, okay? And that was this. Your goal in giving your kiddos a biblical worldview is not parental authority. Did you know that? See, that's where we make a mistake. God says you have to obey me. I'm your daddy. You know, we've all been there. But it's not about parental authority. It's teaching them about God's authority. And if you teach them God's authority, you can say, listen, the reason that I am correcting you is not because Daddy wants to correct you. I don't want to spank you, but I am going to spank you because you were warned. You knew the guidelines. I begged you three times not to do that. And son, you know what? I'm going to give you a couple of swats, and I'm doing it because I am obedient to godly authority. Are you with me? Very, very important, loved one. Listen, and here's the deal, dads. If you do not teach your children, train your children in the admonition of the Lord, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Someone else will. And it's not going to be what you want. And so that's why it's so important. I can assure you that no mother, no father wants someone else training their kiddos. Amen? No, not at all. And believe me, you definitely don't want someone other than yourselves to help your kiddos make choices or make decisions, do you? But you know what? If you don't do that, what are they going to do? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The internet is going to make choices for them. Schools, teachers, and schools will make their peers, whatever. You know, this world has a calling. It wants to conform our kiddos, okay? It wants to squeeze them into the mold. And the devil, man, he not only wants to deceive, but he wants to destroy. You know, I've quoted this scripture over the years about kiddos. from Richard Baxter back in the 1600s. It's so profound. He said this, you know what? If you don't teach your children the Word of God, you sell them to this world. Talking to mom and dad, listen to that. Ooh. You betray them to the devil. You allow your children to become slaves of the wicked one. You allow Satan to abuse your children in this life and torment them in the next. Ooh, what a severe word, isn't that? So you know it and I know it. We've talked about this over the years. Parents, you only have so many days to train your kiddos. You know, in other words, from birth to 18, there's 6,570 days. Those are the opportunities, those days that you have to train your kiddos. If your kiddos are now, say, 12 years of age, it means, let me look, you have 2,190 days until they turn 18. Days are important. That's why you train, you start early with your children. Don't neglect that. Now, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, number one. Number two, in the training. Number three, admonition of the Lord. Those are three truths from God. They're all done in the home. Again, to bring them up means to nurture them to maturity, their body, mind, soul, spirit, all that they are. My question is this. Since March 13th, you know, the church was closed for a long time. Now we've reopened. But during the pandemic, when your kiddos were not here, were you training and teaching your kiddos at home? Not just once a week, but I mean every day. Boy, that is so important. Dads, listen, you do not tell your child, well, go pray. No, you go with your child and you teach them to pray. Amen? You know, listen, that's how it's done. You know, and you know what's wonderful? It's so easy to use daily life experiences. You know, I cannot tell you how many times when Thomas was just a little boy, you know how boys are. They are rough. They climb trees. They're muddy. They're dirty. I mean, they're filthy kids, you know? And they'll play outside. They get the ring under the neck. I don't think kids do that anymore. And when he would fall, he would always run to me. He didn't run to mama. He would run to me. And I would always teach him about prayer right then. He says, Daddy, look at my knee. Oh, I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die, you know? And so I'd sit him down, it didn't matter if it was outside or in the house, and I said, you know what? I know something right now because I know you're crying, but can I tell you something? I'm teaching him, see, the whole time I'm teaching. It's not hard to teach your kids. And as he's crying, I go, well, we better go to the Lord in prayer because his bottle of your tears might be filling up, okay? And he goes, what? I said, yeah, he's catching every one of them and he's writing down, well, Thomas fell, bruised his knee, but Daddy's going to pray with him. You know what I mean. Are y'all with me? Yeah. See how easy that was? That's not hard. And you just teach them just like that. So dads, listen, you don't say, go pray. You say, no, let's go pray. You teach them to pray. You don't go, honey, okay, little one, go read your Bible. No. You say, let's go read the Bible together. Amen? See, you teach them. And can I tell you something? Dads, I'm talking primarily to dads, but mothers too, of course. Dads, listen. You can make it so much fun. It's fun to teach the Bible to your kiddos. You know, I looked up just last night here at the church, and just a few things, what I used to do. Here they go. You ready? And I said, make it fun. And I would say to Thomas or whatever, did you know that there was a man who went to sleep on the ground, and guess what he slept on for a pillow? A stone. What? A stone? Yeah, a stone. Y'all remember that? Would you see how kids get interested in that? Let me give you a few of them. How about this one? The sun stood still for a whole day. Will that teach your kiddos? Yeah, and you can be outside. You can be having your iced tea and looking up, and there's the sun. How about this one here? I love this one. Did you know, son, that there was, or daughter, whatever, did you know there was a man in the Bible? Believe it or not, he had 12 fingers and 12 toes. He did? Yeah. You see what I'm getting at? You see how easy that is? Or how about the one where the axe head floated on, swimming in the water, or the man who walked naked for 3 years? You see what I'm getting at? Now, and here was one of my favorites about the woman who boiled and ate her son. It's a joke. Are you guys with me this morning? Listen, you got to help me, man. Yeah. No, you know that wasn't my favorite. You can go outside. You can go outside at night and there's the moon. You can turn to Genesis chapter 1, or really you can quote it. Honey, how did God create that? He just said it and it happened. Tell me about that. When he created the stars, five words in Genesis. There it is, the star. All those stars, how did he do it? It's just that constant talking to them about the word of God. And you know what? You can teach them how much Jesus loves them. You can teach them how to be led by the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Teach them about grace. Teach them about forgiveness. Teach them about heaven. Teach them about hell. You can teach them one of the greatest things you can teach your child is that God never lies. God cannot lie. The word of God is perfect truth. Teach them. One of the greatest things you can teach your kids as they grow up, I'm talking about experience. All these things are from experience. You know, I'm old enough now to remember a few things. But you know, you teach your children it's not a sin as they get older in their teen years, that it's not a sin to feel certain desires or to be ashamed of what they're feeling, but you are to teach them how to control those desires. Amen? See, you can do those things. You know, you teach them that when they grow up that the Bible is the only authority, the true authority, not their school. Schools are wonderful. Not their teachers. They're not the authority. Teachers are wonderful. Not the government. Thank God for our government. No, not even their friends. You tell them that the Word of God, the living Word of God, the one who sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, he is the one who has all authority. You tell them the truth so when they finally get into situations, perhaps at school or later on at college, when they start telling them and teaching evolution as fact and not theory, they can say, no, that's not true. I know I didn't, you know, come from some cosmic ooze. I was created in the image of God. Heaven is my home. Jesus is my Savior. And when they go to class in college or maybe school, high school, grades, or whatever it is, and they start talking about how the earth was formed and the Big Bang Theory, you can just say, no, that's the Big Bull Theory. You know what I'm saying? No, that's not how it happened. I can turn to Genesis 1. I know exactly how God created the world. This all takes place in the home. And when they are little, you have all of their attention. You have all of their hearts. Parents, mom, dad, they will believe you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from childhood, meaning infancy, Paul tells Timothy, he says, oh, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Amen? Able to make you wise. Some of the worst mistakes that we can make as parents is to raise little religious hypocrites, okay? In other words, they're so sheltered, kids are not perfect, amen? But they're so sheltered that they grow up and they look down their noses at those that are lost, God forbid. You need to teach them their heart needs to be broken over the lost. Never to look down their noses at that at all. You need to teach them, fathers, listen, what sin is, what sin does, and where sin leads. It leads to eternal death. So, listen carefully. What a father and a mother, but fathers, listen carefully. What you do, your actions, what you model in the home is your absolute best teacher. In other words, when your little one sees you sit down to the dinner table or the breakfast table or the lunch table, and they see you bow your head and mama bows her head from the day they're born, and you pray over your food, do you follow me? Do you know what you're doing? You are teaching, you're training, and admonition your children. You're raising them up in the Lord. Whenever a little boy, a little girl, when they're old enough to walk and they start seeing the interactions between the mother and in the father, whenever they observe the way a father treats his wife, they observe that. You're training them. You want your child to grow up and say, I want a husband, amen, I want a husband that'll treat me the way my daddy treated my mama. See, you're training. They're observing it. All of their life, they're looking unto you. And here's what's going to happen. Your child will model your behavior. They can't help it. And for example, if you are judgmental, daddy, then they're going to grow up and be judgmental too. Why? They're going to model your behavior. Did you know that behavior modeling is the most powerful way to train your children? You see, believe it or not, you are your children's model for prayer. When they just watch what you do. Dads, moms, you're their model for the way you forgive others, the way you help others, the way that you love others. You're their model, dad. In other words, church attendance. Of course, we've been in the pandemic, and not all of us can be. The church was shut down for a while. But you know, the fact is, before then, you're the model for church attendance. If you let the kids grow up and they see that church doesn't mean anything to you, maybe occasionally I'm going to show up. Depends on whether Dallas is playing or not. You know what I mean. Listen, what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching them, and it's you are doing it, not God. You're doing it. That church is just not important. But whenever the dad goes, honey, make sure these kids get in Sunday school. I got to see this game. You know, it's the big one. You know what I mean? Now, I don't fault you for that at all. But here's what happens. They come to Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, and we have great teachers at Kids Church. We have great teachers in the youth. Do you understand? And so here they see that, well, they're supposed to honor God and they're supposed to do all these things and they're taught to read their Bibles and pray and be committed to the church. And if they don't see that model of behavior at home, then it confuses them because, see, they hear it taught here, but they don't see it modeled in the house. What happens to a child that grows up in a Christian home but is never given a true biblical worldview? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:31, it says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. No Christian mother or father wants that for their kiddos. Listen, see, if we don't equip our kids with God's word, man, they're in trouble. See, without God's word, there's no moral compass. There's no absolute truth. Do you understand? They don't have anything to stand on. And the latest Pew research, I just pulled it up last night. It says only 4% of millennials, Christians that are millennials, have a biblical worldview. 4%. Listen to Barna research on Generation Z. This is what this generation is, right? Is that right? I don't know what it is. It says Generation Z, and it is this generation, is the least Christian generation in all of American history. Think about that. And we wonder why our government is all messed up. We wonder why socialism is gaining popularity. Oh, listen, a person's worldview, it says in one statistic, a person's worldview, biblical worldview, is developed, and I should say any worldview, is developed between the ages of 18 months and 13 years. One of the greatest things that you can do is make Christianity the most joyous thing in all of the world in your home. And you know why you can do that? Because it is joyous. Amen? There's nothing greater than the Christian life. And you know, every Christian parent, they should always do a self-examination of themselves and of their children. You should look at your child and say, okay, am I doing this? Is my child really, is he walking with the Lord, learning about the Lord, or is he walking like the world? That's very important that we know those things. And listen, you have a promise about your children. You remember on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, when those in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that? That promise of that filling of the Holy Spirit, loved one, is just not to the people in the upper room or to that generation. It is to every generation throughout till the end of time. It says in Acts 2:39, for the promise, meaning the endowment from power upon high, is to you, and here it comes, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. The promise is to you, that filling of the Holy Spirit, that endowment of power, loved one, but it's also to your children. That's their birthright. Tell them about that. You know, one thing to be born again, another to be, I'm talking about the upper room experience. I'll never forget, Thomas was probably, Becky knows every number perfectly, and I don't. But I think he might have been 7, or I'm not for sure. And we were in a church service, and he was in the kids' church. And so after the service was over, we were driving home, and he said, Daddy, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, well, He said, you know, I was sitting there in the kids' church, and he said, minding my own business with all the other kids, and the teacher had not started teaching yet, and there was a wind that blew through the kids' church. And I said, really? I said, was it the air conditioning? I mean, you know, what's going on? He said, oh, no. He said, and then I started speaking in another language. Do you know what that means? Are y'all with me? Listen, it belongs to your children. The reason we have to have power from them on high is because we are powerless. We need to have the Holy Spirit ruling in our lives. Jesus said in Luke 18:15, is talking about the Lord, and it says, and they, meaning the disciples, they also brought infants to Jesus that he might just touch them. But the disciples saw it, oh, and they rebuked them. But Jesus called them and said, oh, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them. Why? For such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, listen now, as this little child will never enter it. Did you know, fathers, listen to me now, it is not difficult to lead your children to the Lord. It is one of the easiest things you can do. Jesus just told us something. He said, you know what? It is absolutely impossible for anyone to be born again, enter the kingdom of God, unless they do something, unless they receive salvation as the gift of a little child. Listen, I tell you something. I tell you, a child is never too proud to accept a present or a gift. Have you ever noticed that? No. Oh, thank you. They want it. You bet. No matter what it is. No, fathers and mothers, listen, here's the deal. When they see Jesus in you, when they see Jesus modeled in you when they're little, you know what? They want what you have. They want Jesus. One night, I don't know, maybe he was 6 years old. Thomas was about 6 years old. And I always, every morning I prayed all of his life. I laid hands on my son every day of his life until the day I dropped him off at college. That was the last time. He was about 6 years old, and I'd pray with him in the mornings, and we'd have our prayer time at night when he would go to bed. And we'd go in and talk about the Lord, and I just lay hands and pray over him and so forth, ask him questions, how's he doing, and how was his day, you know what I mean. And so I was getting ready to get up off the bed and go into the living room, and he said, Daddy, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, well, sure, son, what's on your heart? He said, well, you know, I want what you have. I said, what do you mean? He says, I want what you have with Jesus. I said, well, it's very easy, son. All we have to do is ask Jesus to be your Lord, for him to come into your heart. And that's exactly what we did. And he was born again. Listen, see, it's so easy. Parents, listen. It all starts in the Christian home. That's where it starts with you, all of it. And when these four verses, when they are obeyed, and you do so in love, they will change the lives of your children forever and ever. Amen? Let me read, and then we're going to pray. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, honor your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And the church says, Father, we thank you for the greatest words spoken about child training, about parenting. But Lord, I pray for every father. I pray for every mother. If they have young ones at home, teenagers at home, Lord God, I pray they put this into practice immediately. They do it with love and they do it with tenderness. And Lord, that you bless their children, you bless their home, you fill that home with your power, with your spirit, with your love, and your joy, and that they sense and feel the presence of the living God there. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill continues his study from Ephesians on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you again. Thanks for listening with us, and enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.